I had myself some turkey for breakfast this morning.
Show me a good time.
I saw all these people with walking sticks today.
Yeah, fish on.
I saw people with walking sticks. They're walking.
You do that.
Everybody, and welcome back to Tommy Paloni. It's been a while, but we're here. We haven't gone anywhere.
Still blowing minds.
That's right. Loving every minute of it.
You know, blowing minds is kind of a weird analogy. I mean, blowing mind?
Trees.
Or the postman.
That's right. Postman comes up, you know, he just wants to deliver some mail, and there you go. Surprise.
Surprise.
We had a couple run-ins with COVID.
Yes. Some very, very, very real run-ins with COVID.
Yeah. We, like some construction work in people's houses who I still don't know the names of. They're terrible people.
And in that time, I lost a set of car keys. I also lost a 10 millimeter socket, which I'm not too happy about.
Dude, I just found my car keys. Literally, they've been gone for like 2 months. You know where they were? Chris is like, hey, we need masks because, you know, every time you go out to the store. So we put this, like, you know, little mask rack. And for some reason, somebody put my keys. Could have been me. I don't know. I'm not blaming anybody, but I'm not taking any accountability for it. But they were sitting behind all the masks for like 2 months. I'm like, holy crap.
That's how that shit goes, man.
It's like, dude, I turned the couches up because last time, like, they fell on the couch. And my couch has, like, a lot of hiding spaces. So I was like, it's got to be in this freaking couch. It's got to, no, not in the couch. Nowhere to be found. I'm like, they're gone. And those are, like, $400 keys, man.
I know. They ain't cheap. If they got a fob on them, they ain't cheap.
Yeah, dude. So I'm like, oh, thank the good Lord.
But I think that is going to be this year's Christmas craze, man. The DIY mask racks. Designer mask racks, you know, people, you know, just getting crafty. That's going to be the next thing you're going to see on. There's going to be, you know, like I have
what?
The cook.
Mask rack?
Mask racks.
Oh, yeah.
To hang your masks on.
Oh, dude, we already did that. I told you.
See, and the next thing you know,
people
probably
are losing their keys
January,
left and right.
ABC announces that their new reality show, DIY mask racks.
And, dude, and then they're going to start selling them.
Contestants compete against each other.
And then you're going to have some company
like those
who's
going to
want $700, $700 mask rack. Yeah, somebody's going to buy it. People will pay $700 for something that's stupid.
I'm working on a jewel encrusted one that I'm going to sell for big money, and I'm going to donate all the proceeds from that sale to myself.
I like it. You know, like how about just a few nails in the wall? Be like, how many masks do you really need? We have a box of masks, which never leave the box until they're needed. They're like, oh, yeah. where's that box of masks? Right here. Oh, okay. Dude, those masks have been hanging. Like, those are the ones that everybody sewed together, like, you know, like 4 or 5 months ago. Because that's all people do now. Like, oh, we get masks all the time. My
wife's
aunt.
Well, that's what you need, a designer mask rack for your designer masks.
That's right.
I remember, like, when I was a kid, like, aunts and uncles and grandmas would give each other fucking, like, homemade crocheted bullshit, you know? A lot of times it was like,
masks,
like whatever women do with yarn,
it's better than an ugly sweater.
They would make like these Christmas trees that would hang on the wall. They'd have like wooden hooks, wooden loops to look. You know what I'm talking about, right?
Time.
You know what I'm talking about? That shit from the 70s and early 80s.
I know.
Like, oh, here's a wonderful
crochet, and what was that? Cross stitching, what was that?
The crochet cross stitching and the needle point shit.
Yeah, well, I think I did cross stitching, dude. I did a lot
like
of cool
a cross
stuff.
Stitcher.
And after like the fourth or fifth one, I'm like,
cross dresser.
It was like you're basically like weaving like small yarn on plastic. I made Donald Duck and I made this and that, and I'm like, yeah, I'll make a Smurf.
Yeah, I did.
I'm like, oh, I'm done with this shit.
Yeah, I did models. I glued models together. Of battleships, you know, manly shit, like fucking fighter planes, cool cars and shit. And you're sitting at home doing needlepoint. You're sitting at home doing needlepoint when you should have been doing boy stuff.
I played ice hockey. I played baseball. I fought people for no reason. I would just walk out to my back door and be like, you, let's fight.
I heard you used to get in a lot of trouble in hockey for doing needlepoint on the bench.
then after I beat the shit out of somebody, I would just whip it out of my, you're right, in my back pocket, I would just pull it out and start cross-stitching. Maybe I have a few, like, images of people that I've severely beaten up.
And then cross-stitch them real, and real quickly cross-stitch them a calling card that says, you got bested by...
That's right, Agoff.
By Agoff. I forgot your fucking name, man, because it's so weird.
It is, Legoff.
Legoff! As they would say.
And by the way, dude, check it out. This is, I mean, you can't see it.
He's got a pocket saw.
Okay, so we were talking last episode about the Chinese.
It was supposed to be a gas-powered mini chainsaw.
No, it was a gas-powered
mini chainsaw.
Battery-powered, I believe. And you know what? And since then, I can't remember the name of the site.
It's probably Wish.
But because the name of the site doesn't come through, it's some other weird site. So what these Chinese people do is they put up like a dozen sites, and then they sell these ads to like these game people. Like you're playing your dumb game that gives you that little bit of like, you know, a sense of accomplishment for like, you know, the 5 minutes that you wasted on it, and then you get an ad, and then I'm like, and I'm like, dude, I could use that mini chainsaw. So and you're looking at it. What is it?
You got to unlock it, man.
Yeah, I know, I'm working on it. Here, I'm opening it up. It is what?
It's a handsaw. It's a fold-in handle handsaw. Yeah. It does have two positions.
It does. It has like, you know, like I would say not 40, like what is that? Like maybe a 1/8, like a, what kind of degree? Like that would be nice. Close to 90. It could be like a 110.
Yeah, it's probably more like a 120, 110.
Yeah, something
degree.
Like that.
And then a full out.
And then a full boom. Full. Like, you know, vertical, horizontal, however you want to hold it. And I used this.
It looks like it.
It was nice.
Until it wasn't.
And I just started snapping the twigs over my knee. You know, yeah. So I kind of, like, remember I was saying, it's like, you know, I either won't get it at all or I'm going to get something that has, you know, absolutely nothing to do with what I bought. And this is like, it's kind of like, oh, shit, we had somebody order. What are we going to do? I don't know. What do we got? Check the closet. There's a handsaw in there. He'll be happy with it. What's he going to do? Complain? It was $20.
You know what pisses me off? Is back in the 70s when America started making crappy shit and we're known around the world for making crappy shit. Now, you don't buy American stuff because it's garbage. And then we stopped making this shit and became a service fucking... our economy's based on service now.
Servo-ficial nation.
So, you know, everyone's like, boo, boo. You know, the Germans are like, don't buy anything from America. It's all garbage. It's 1981. You're going to buy an American stereo? You know that thing's made out of fucking garbage and peeps and twigs and shit.
It's cheap plastic.
And here it is. For the last 20 years, China has been making the crappiest of crap.
Yeah, crap.
And people are buying it. And no one's bitching about it. Give me some more of that crap, that Chinese crap.
And top engineers are making sure that, you know, I think that the top engineers we were talking about in the last episode have something to do with the twist ties and those little dial things. It's like, hey, how are we going to make $1 million this year, dude? Let's just make everything horribly hard to open.
Paying the Chinese money to take things from them to put in our landfills is basically what goes on because it's all fucking garbage.
What do you think the Chinese are using for masks? I mean, we see pictures of them wearing real masks, but
they've been wearing
They're wearing paper.
Dude, they were wearing masks like for fucking a long time before this.
Dude, I think that, like, you know, if you go into China, you're going to see some really goofy face masks.
Well,
like,
our face masks are made in China.
Dude, I'm talking like, you know, well, they don't get them. They ship them to us.
No, you don't know that. Dude, you don't know China's corrupt, man. You have no idea.
Those motherfuckers
are like, all right, swap the samples. Swap the samples.
And in Chinese.
Whatever it is. Probably Mandarin or Cantonese. What do they talk in Beijing? Is it Cantonese or Mandarin?
I don't know.
But anyway,
probably a
they're going to be pissed
of
off
three.
And they're going to say, swap the samples in Mandarin or China, whatever the fuck.
However they say swap the samples.
However they say it in I have no idea. But anyway, that's what happens. And then you get the crap that's made in the factory
and you know
down the alley.
I was listening to that podcast and I was like, you know, well, actually with that saw, it's like I believe that we have officially pissed off every Chinese person because I said something like, you know, either – wait, actually, because I was trying to be funny, and after the fact, I'm like, well, maybe that's a little racist. I don't know. Is it like when I said – I said that either I'm going to get the saw or not get it at all, or I'm going to get a box and open it up and, like, you know, like a 4x4 box and, like, you know, 20 Chinese people are going to jump out. Is that racist?
I don't think
so. Can I make a joke like
but
that?
But I was accused of being racist for saying the Wu flu.
Wu flu. The, I was just, like, the Wu-Tang flu.
I was called a racist for it. I'm like, well,
the,
I'm
no,
like,
no, the Klung flu.
I know. I called
the president of the United States says it.
I called it the Wu flu.
I don't think he's racist. And anyway, I think he's just, you know, hey.
I get called a racist for it. I'm like, it's not a people. It's a city in China. Wu-Tang. I mean, Wuhan.
It's like a Chinese person say, yeah, like Chicago pizza. I'm like, racist.
I didn't.
You said Chicago. Well, I was just, well, it doesn't matter. You're a racist.
I was so upset. I'm like, and then I questioned them. I'm like, what about the Spanish flu? What about that?
Oh, my God.
Do you think the Spains were pissed off?
You know what? That's actually a good point.
They were fucking pissed off because the point of origin they traced back on that disease was back to the States, like in Missouri or something.
It's not racist to me. No, that's actually French. It's French, Spanish. Like, just think about it. You think about it. The French, Spain, Sweden, all those countries, like, they don't really get into the racist thing. Americans are racist. So if I say, hey, nice pants, racist.
Japan's.
I just said you had nice pants.
Japan's really racist.
You racist.
I was watching something.
Son of a bitch.
And Japan is a very racist country.
Really? Japan is racist?
Yeah. They do it very politely.
Oh. How are you doing, you stupid American? You're dumb. Yes, I like you.
Very politely, but yeah. They truly believe that because you're a foreigner, you're not as good as they are. Oh. And they treat you as such. They do it politely, though.
You should move there. Become Japanese.
I don't think they want you there.
Refuse to speak their language.
I could
start setting up like American like neighborhoods.
I could totally like it? Japan because their food is phenomenal, man.
Oh, dude, Kyobe, like the beef. I think we talked about this
anything,
before, but
man.
The Kyobe beef, Kyobe or like, you know, what is it?
It's Obi-Wan Kyobe beef. It's Jedi beef, man. You like that?
Dude, that shit is expensive. I mean, Wagyu. I think it's like Wagyu or something.
No, they cut it with laser swords.
Kobe beef. So what I'm saying is, like, you know, I wanted to watch it because, you know, I like Shia LaBeouf. Things. I was wondering.
You do?
Oh, dude.
I was wondering. I lay awake at night wondering if you like Shia LaBeouf or is it LaBeouf?
I don't know. Shia LaBeouf. No, it has to be Shia LaBeouf because you probably haven't seen it. You ever see the Shia LaBeouf video where, they talk about him, like, you know, chasing people down, like somebody down and, like, you know, gnawing his leg and, you know.
No. I have seen the Sia video with Shia LaBeouf.
Just Do It?
I don't remember what the song is.
Just Do It!
I don't think that's it.
Oh, it's great.
But anyway, I'm not a huge fan. Well, I'm not a fan whatsoever. To be quite honest with you, I really don't care about anyone in Hollywood. Like, there's like some cool cats that I think are genuinely
Well, he
kind of
separated himself from Hollywood.
But still, he's not at like Keanu Reeves status or Bill Murray status my favorite movie he was in is the one that I didn't see.
Oh. That one. Well, growing up, like, you know, not me growing up, like kids watched like all this
you
stupid crap.
You grew up in a Petri dish.
They're all watching like all this crap, like on Nickelodeon and Disney, and I'm like, oh man, I couldn't stand any of it, dude. Even Stevens, I'm like, oh, here's something I could watch because he was in it. He was a pretty funny guy, pretty funny kid. Right. And I was wondering, I'm like, dude, he was actually really talented. So I'm like, when's he gonna make his breakthrough? I mean, and then he was in I don't know
Holes.
He was in Holes, and that was pretty.
That
good.
That was his like breakthrough in the movie.
Well, kind of sorta, but then you didn't see anything for a while.
No, it was.
It must be.
He was a Disney stroke, and then he got a Disney. I think Holes is a Disney.
Wait, I don't
movie.
Know if it was. I think it might have been Nickelodeon.
No, shut up. Sigourney Weaver is in it. She's beautiful and a wonderful actress.
Oh yeah, Sigourney Weaver. Everybody forgot about Sigourney Weaver and Alien.
I did not forget about her.
Oh, I loved Aliens.
She was good in all those movies she was in.
Oh, she was good in everything. But I love reading. If you go to you go to Rotten Tomatoes, there's some pretty funny reviews, like The Tax Collector. Let's find my favorite one. I'll watch it, but I'm probably going to wait until Netflix. Blah, 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 blah.
Mr. Peanut Butter?
No, here's one of the most atrocious viewing experiences of the year. The Tax Collector relies on a trite visual language built on obvious flashbacks and bland imagery that match the unimaginatively dreadful writing where every Latino in sight is a gangster. I laughed out loud the first time I read it. Here, we've all seen The Sopranos, and we won't get fooled again.
I like it. What's it? What's the show called?
No, it's a movie. It's called. What's the movie Collector. Called? It's probably good.
I'm not gonna watch it.
People, but I mean, in honesty, I'm looking at Shia LaBeouf.
I'm not gonna give it a chance.
You better.
I will not.
When it comes to Netflix, you had better watch The Tax Collector. I'm gonna come over with a box of popcorn.
Is it a sci-fi movie? Because I only watch sci-fi movies.
Maybe I'll edit it.
Movies with that are as close to boring documentaries as possible.
I mean, I think Shia LaBeouf should like get ripped because like he's way too skinny, man. He's way too skinny.
He got ripped for that thing that he was on.
Oh, that other movie.
Yeah.
Oh, dude, you know who got ripped for like a crazy movie, which I haven't seen it. The you ever watch Silicon Valley?
No.
Remember that episode of
No.
The episode of
Married with Children? Because we could talk.
No, I'm talking about with the episode of Portland, Portlandia. Remember? Where they go to the 80 plates around the world?
Yeah, you know, that show's
80 plates.
That show's good.
Oh.
But it's about 90, well, about 80% good. The 20% of it is absolutely flat.
Dude, the opening scene, dude, I think I've watched like that opening, like, you know, like that song, 90s of Is Alive in Portland, dude. I think I've watched it at least 100 times, dude. It's excellent. It's one of the best songs ever written.
I don't know what song that is.
You know?
Sing
it. The dream of the 90s is alive in Portland. Portland. Dream of the 90s. Put a bird on something to call it art.
Put a bird on it. Isn't there an insurrection in Portland right now?
Oh, I don't know.
Is that what the 90s was about, insurrection?
Could be. You know, you could do something
like
join
through
the
90s, and I'll tell you right now, it wasn't about insurrection. It was about the Chicago Bulls and drinking.
Chicago Bulls, man. Jordan, best basketball player ever. Don't ever try to contest it. Did you watch The Last Dance? Did we talk about this last week? I don't know.
I watched some of it, but not all of it.
Oh, dude, it's great. You know, the funny thing is, like, you see Jordan's reaction to some of this stuff. Like remember, what was it? Playing the Pacers or whatever. The glove. Remember the glove?
Yep.
And like, you know, they
no glove, no love. They said, yeah.
dude, he was like, you know, look at, because they would hand Jordan like an iPad with like they interviewed the glove. And he's like, yeah, you know what? After like the second or third game, they're up like 2 or 3 to nothing, and they're like, you know, the glove's like, you know what? With the only thing we had is like, you know, me, I would just have to like get on Jordan and tire him out. And well, this is after, of course, Jordan's, you know, unfortunately, his father passed away. So
his father didn't pass away.
I mean, well, you know,
he was killed by a homicidal maniac.
He was killed, which is bad. But like he was
killed
had other
by
ideas.
Death, so
he,
which so, in any circumstance is bad.
So he sees the interview and he goes, he laughs. He's like, I had no problem with the glove. He's like, I just, you know, I had other things in mind. So basically, I think they purposely held it out so that they would hit the Father's Day game, you know, and then clean up there.
Probably.
I mean, you couldn't do anything probably with the Bulls. I mean, dude.
He's very much a showman. On top of being the greatest basketball
dude,
player,
dude, he's awesome, dude. I remember, like, every time he would do a commercial was hilarious. I remember that one time where
is he the greatest sports athlete ever, or is he in?
Well, the thing is, you can't. You have like, you know, Jordan, but then you have Gretzky. Well, I mean, it's like, well,
once
I mean,
again, that's why I said greatest sports.
They say
athlete.
He was. People say that he was the best athlete to ever be for any sport, and it's like, well. The thing is with baseball, you can't really do much. I mean, Babe Ruth, whatever. But then you have your, you know, Frank Thomas, Carlton Fisk. You have all these greats. Okay, so like you can.
What's so great about Carlton Fisk?
Carlton Fisk was awesome, dude. He was the captain.
Tell me more.
He was a captain, dude. What else he waved. He magically waved a home run into fair. You know, when he was with the Red Sox.
How about you tell me some numbers?
1, 2, 3, 4, 5.
No. Some numbers on Carlton Fisk.
I'm not even going to bother.
When I was
with
a
that.
Kid, he was my favorite player. But
oh, he was my favorite player of all time too.
But I don't, I don't know what his numbers were. I know he did hit some home runs.
He hit some home runs. He was a catcher.
I know he was a catcher.
He was the captain.
I know
I think he's the only one in Major League Baseball who's ever called the captain.
I know he likes vodka, trucks, and cornfields.
Does he?
Yeah.
I don't remember.
It was like 10 years ago. They found him drunk in his truck in a cornfield in, I don't know, somewhere down south here, like New Lenox.
Oh, really? Oh, he was over here in New Lenox? Just drunk in a cornfield?
Yeah.
That's what I'd be doing if I were Colin Fitch.
He drove his truck into a cornfield, and there was a bottle of vodka in the car.
Yeah.
Was
it by where you lived?
I don't know. It's either one of the towns around New Lenox or some shit like that. I probably shouldn't have said that.
You shouldn't have said that.
We'll have to edit that out.
We do.
I meant Annie Lennox.
Yeah. It's going in the podcast.
And now, a word from our would-be sponsor.
The following is a paid advertisement from White Stain Industries. The ideas and concepts expressed in this advertisement are in no way, shape, or form reflectant on the integrity or beliefs of the station.
Greetings, citizens of Planet Earth. Are you tired of wearing the same old underwear? The same drab, cantankerous, run-of-the-mill underwear? Well, have we got a product for you. From the people who brought you underwear in a carcass and underwear from the trash, White Stain Industries proudly presents...
Frankenstein's Underwear.
This contemptive yet sensitive pair of underwear is composed of only the finest hand-selected fabrics from the most elegant and charming third world countries. Each pair is gently woven with the dullest of needles by the trembling hands of a patient cooperative malnourished Canadian child.
And rest assured, people of Earth, every single pair of these scandalous yet provocative underwear are thoroughly scrutinized by the most ignorant of Frankensteins.
And if that doesn't convince you, just hear these sworn testimonies from actual satisfied customers.
Frankenstein's underwear? Those underwears is fantastic. I don't know if I ever got around without those underwears. You know, I wear them to church, I wear them to the work, I wear them when I go to the gym. Yeah, I wear them to work. The great thing about these underwears is, you know, say you forget your lunch, you just can eat the underwear.
Frankenstein's underwear? Well, at first I thought, ridiculous. But then I was given a pair by my life partner, and now I can't seem to wear them enough.
What do you like most about the Frankenstein underwear?
I love them.
Wow!
There you have it, folks. The traditional and nonsensical statements of the typical hired goons that appear on infomercials.
That's right, Bob. And I've even heard a few of them had to be threatened, some even tortured into giving their glowing commentary. But that's not what we're here to talk about. We're here to talk about
Frankenstein underwear.
You got it, Bob.
Frankenstein's underwear keeps on keeping on.
That reminds me, Bob, of just how uncomfortable and bacteria-foul these underwear are.
That's why I wear them, Bob. To be part of the adventure. You know, when I slip on a pair of Frankenstein...
That's great, Bob, but I think you're an asshole. Your daughter gave me the clap, and I'm the one who sold your son to the Libyans. And I couldn't have done it without the intoxicating drive of my Frankenstein underwear.
Wow, Bob, that's magnificent. Looks like you really got a handle on life. Amazing.
That's right, Bob. So if you're tired of the Queen of England telling you what to do, take uncontrollable command of your hand and dial this number now.
1-800-NUTSACK. That's 1-800-NUTSOCK. Your order will be lethargically rushed to your home. The number again is 1-800-NUTSOCK. Order now. Order many. Order frequently. Call now. Call now, and we will throw in free of charge this lovely lump of whale blubber, the byproduct of White Stain Industries.
Dude, do you know you got like a creepy face on that door for the cabinet there? You see it? It looks like hell. It looks like Hellface.
Which one?
There's two. They actually, all three of them have it, but the one in the middle and the one on the right-hand side.
Oh, I see. It's like almost like a shield.
Yeah, like,
I see it now, dude. Totally.
Fuck, totally. That's creepy.
And you there's like a different face.
In all three of them. Yeah, well, you should probably...
Here.
Maybe you should cover that up with something. That looks like... That looks like if you took those drama and comedy masks and cut them in half and pieced two halves together.
Yeah.
Or it looks like, you know... It looks like the fucking devil, man.
It could be.
Devil male.
That's why I got all these pictures of Christ. Because guess what?
That's a European Christ, fellas.
That's right.
Because we all know Jesus came from Europe.
He looks, like I said, that one looks a little...
Hey, I'm Jesus from Europe. I got a heart here floating in front of my chest. It's got a little fire coming off the top. And then we got a little crown of thorns around it. You know.
You're going to hell. European Jesus.
Jesus.
Hey, there we go, dude. We should do that. We should just, like, take the podcast live, dress you up, and be like, hey, everybody, I'm the European Jesus.
Told me he wanted a liter of wine. I said, hey, I'm Jesus. Let me get a liter of wine. I'm like, ah, it's America. I don't know what a liter is. I'm like, hey, how long is that lower window frame? He's like, 32 centimeters. I'm like, what the fuck? 32 centimeters? What? Who measures in centipedes? I don't know. I thought, is there like a standard size for centipedes? They all look like different sizes. I imagine like there could be infant centipedes that are much shorter than adult centipedes.
This drives me nuts when I have to like, you know, actually calculate, you know, when they say kilometers, it's like, dude, come on. Tell me in miles. Do kilometers / miles.
Oh, the guys.
Is it that hard for you guys to do? If you're going to write an article about something, at least have the decency to do the transcribing of like from, or like or the calculation from like kilometers to miles.
I got this new job and like everything in weight is in like kilograms and grams and shit.
Kilogrammios.
I'm like, motherfucker, man. Pounds, ounces, let's go. Like, no, you got to do the conversion. I'm like, you fucking bastards. Like, do you know what's 0.60 kilograms of R134A is? I'm like, no, but I'm going to guess it's probably around 1.3 pounds. It turns out I was pretty fucking close.
Yeah.
It's like 1.32. I tried to get myself adjusted to kilometers, and for like a couple weeks, I turned everything in my car, you know, to metric. I was trying to get used to Celsius. I'm like, I want to know Celsius like I know fucking Fahrenheit. Like Fahrenheit, you could feel in your bones, you know? That's you're like, right. Oh, damn, it's 89 Fahrenheit. But now I want to learn fucking Celsius and get that to the, fuck.
What is 20 Celsius? You know, I mean, the numbers are just too, the numbers aren't there. They're just too weak. They're too small. They don't work. I think zero isn't even like the you know, whatever. I mean, Fahrenheit, we know what zero is, okay? We know what 32 degrees is. We know boiling points. We know all this stuff. But with Celsius... They just flipped. They said, hey, how can we make this more complicated than what we already have? Let's try to make everything even in tens. Oh, that sounds like a good idea. Too bad we already have this standard system in place. Well, we'll just have to get around that somehow.
Yeah. Son, well, realistically, I mean, it is a better system, to be quite honest with you. It is a better system.
Too bad.
But
like,
it's,
you know,
not what I'm used to.
Rewind it like 200-300 years and then like tell the King of England, hey, instead of like measuring your foot and...
Hey.
Let's go by tens here. How about we go like, you know, by like your toe?
The King of England could kiss my ass.
He can. He does.
All day long.
Every freaking day. Tell you what. I gotta go back to this. Like I was saying this earlier. You know, I mean, I don't know where it came from. Popped in my head. Like, you know, hey, you think you could have your cake and eat it too? It's like, well, I mean, that was kind of the point. It's like, I don't go to a restaurant, order cake, and then when they put it down in front of me, I go to eat it. Oh, what are you doing? It's like, well, I was going to eat it. Oh, no, you can't have your cake and eat it too.
So is like, it?
I kind of just assumed that maybe I would eat it.
So would your natural option be to, like, have some cake but not be able to eat it?
Yeah.
And now we're going to fucking bend the scope of things and say, have your cake and eat it too?
I mean, unless there was like a rule like, hey, you could have your cake and eat it if you abide by the metric system.
I'm
not going to sign up for that.
That kind of angers me a little bit. I get it. You know, like there's these cliches that just, it's just stupid.
Yeah. Like, you know. Have a cake and eat it too. It's like, well, that's kind of the point. It's like, you know,
it
so basically
be.
You're going to give me a piece of cake and let me stare at it. What am I supposed to smash it? Throw it away?
Oh, here's your cake and you can eat it.
Maybe I can
sell it. Oh, what a wonderful fucking world we live in.
Yeah, you know, so I'm going to have my cake, but then I got to sell it to the table next to me. Thank you.
Is that what used to go on? People would get cake and sell it to the table next to them?
I think that's where, with that cliche, I think that's the route we're going to have to go.
I think that's how cocaine started being traded.
Hey. Hey, you guys like cocaine? Oh, my guess. Yeah.
Well, we're not sure. Well, I'll give you some, but I got to get some of that cake.
I apologize, but, you know, I can't have my cocaine and eat it, too. Or snort it, or, you know, whatever. Whatever people do with their cocaine.
Yeah.
And cake, can I have my cake and eat it, too, if I sprinkle cocaine on it? I have to sell it to the table next to me with cocaine?
To be honest with you, I'm not a big cake fan. I don't think cake's that great.
Yeah, I'm not a big... I mean, birthday parties, I'll have a slice.
Yeah, it's all garbage.
When I was younger, I was like, yeah, but...
I like a nice Bundt cake. Oh, who doesn't like a nice Bundt cake?
Bundt cake. I love Bundt cake. I don't even know. I probably ate one without knowing it. So I might be guilty of saying I've never had a Bundt cake, and I actually did.
It's shaped like a ring, and it's got ripples on it.
Ooh, I probably did have one.
Yeah.
Long time ago.
Yeah.
Or maybe like...
They're pretty good.
I don't know. I don't remember that crap.
Out of all the cakes, it's probably one of the better ones. I do give like a pass. Like my favorite cake is like fucking a carrot cake.
Oh, I like carrot cake. It's good.
But like regular like chocolate cake, you know what? You could just throw it in the garbage.
I love chocolate. I love chocolate upon chocolate and chocolate. But dude, going back to the Bundt cake, is that
chocolate's
the cake?
All right.
Is that the cake with the cone heads? The cone heads would throw on their cones and become pregnant?
Are you talking about?
I should probably keep my kids away from Bundt cake. Then.
I've never seen the Coneheads movie.
What?
No.
You've never seen the Coneheads movie? You got to watch it.
I've seen the Coneheads on Saturday Night Live.
Yeah, the Coneheads movie takes it. Dude, it's like so funny.
I'm not going to watch it.
Dude, you know what?
I'm going to be honest with you. I'm not going to watch it.
Dude, I'm going to put that on the number one list to watch for my daughter. She's going to love it.
The only thing I watch is documentaries and any kind of movie with a good social redeeming value to it.
Oh, well, you should watch like Hobo with a Shotgun then, like we talked about earlier.
Black Diamond, Hobo with a Shotgun. I don't think shotguns solve...
Dude,
the problems,
it's like the greatest
Russ.
Well,
or hobos.
Well, if you watch Black Dynamite and you watch Hobo with a Shotgun in the same night, you could kill two birds with one stone.
Did
we talk about that too? I'm not sure.
When I play my lame ass games that I download from Google,
yeah.
my handle is Hobo Jam.
Noble Jam.
That's me.
Oh, that's so, you. I think I played you before.
If you're playing some lame ass game, strategy garbage,
move.
And you run across Hobo Jam, that's me. You should probably go easy move. On me because I'm not the greatest player out there, but I am determined.
You move the cubes. Move the cube left and right. And like I said, I said this before. It's like it gives you that unfulfillment. Like you're like, I'm gonna, I got it, and boom. When you're done solving the puzzle, you're like, okay, well, that was okay. Well, I'm just gonna go to the next level.
I find that the only game apps that have any kind of value to them are the ones that don't require appeasement, for lack of better terms.
Well, just like because you don't really win anything, you're like, yeah, I did it.
Dude,
I downloaded
those games where you're like the cook in the kitchen and you got to make all this crap for some people before time runs out.
People who don't exist.
Yeah, right. Or like fucking Farmville and shit.
Oh yeah.
And then you're like, oh, this is kind of fun. And then like a month goes by and you're like, what am I doing with my life? What is going on? I think I spent $2 on this game. Just the other day. And then I got a guy from work that's like, hey, I started playing Farmville. I'm like, oh, it's a great game. It's like, yeah, it's a great game and everything. And then, like, I'm a month ahead of him or 2 months ahead of him. And then, like, a month goes by and I'm like, I'm not into Farmville. And he's like, what? Hey, why aren't you answering my message and sending me fruits and vegetables and shit?
Right.
I'm like, dude, I ain't playing Farmville anymore. He's like, why not? I'm like, because it's lame. I mean, I actually invested money in this game, and I feel really bad about doing it.
Because I could have actually been doing real food.
Right.
I could have put a garden in.
How much money did you spend?
Game.
I'm like, I spent $5 on fucking bullshit so I could grow my fake food. He's like, oh, man. I'm like, I've been playing for a month now, and I've spent like $50. I'm like, dude. The fuck
Stop
is wrong
it.
With you?
Stop it.
Go spend that money on drugs or a hooker or something. God!
The thing is, like, when Farmville first came out, I'm getting, like, you know, all these, like, Facebook messages and stuff. And you know,
oh,
people
yeah.
Like,
hey, it's me. It's Bill Courtesy from back in fucking grade school and everything. Hey, will you send me some fucking beats?
Hey, no. I got some messages saying, hey, can you tell her... Like, you know, tell my...
Well, spread the word. Everyone needs to play Farmville.
It's like, I don't want to have to do work fake work. I'm like, what can't you do it yourself? And if you think about it, it's like, you know, what are we actually doing here? I'm like, well, and I asked around. I'm like, is there a way I can go in and destroy this person's garden? Can I just like
no.
All
you can
no
do
way.
Is help them.
There's no, you can only help them. I'm like, can I just like release some like, you know, rabbits in there to eat everything? Nope, can't do it. It's like, that's not reality.
Fucking if so, nothing's to all you it. People out there that are playing games that are like Farmville, put it down, pick up a book, educate yourself. Yeah. Watch a movie with social redeeming values to it.
Or watch Black Dynamite or Hobo with a Shotgun.
Just get out there and experience something. Read some Vonnegut.
Write a book.
It'll be good for you.
Write a book. Ride a bike.
Ride a bike while writing a book.
Scrub your, you know, clean your house. It's filthy.
You have a filthy
home. You've been on the phone all day. No.
There is microscopic poo-poo all over your cell phone because you use it in the shit house.
Well, I had a thought about something, but I forgot it. Yeah, and I have pulled out the English accent here. It is a very nice one, is it not? I have refined it over several years, and, well, frankly, for some reason, when I speak in this English accent, I don't or ah. It is just not the way that English people do things. But when I speak in my normal voice, I. It is terrifying, ridiculously American. This is preposterous. And so are you.
Did you know that English accent that you're using did not exist until after the Revolutionary War?
Or until Vincent Price. I think that's where I got it from. I love Vincent Price's voice.
Vincent Price was American.
He was.
But
he talk like this.
But there was... No, he talk more like this.
He was this. And he did the Thriller.
He did do the fucking know. Thriller. When no, Michael what, Jackson... Was good, when was... Michael Jackson, he had the penny loafers on back then. Dude, actually, I think he wore the penny loafers all through everything. Like, he was just that guy.
He was...
Do you remember that? Remember that 20 minutes back in 1983 when penny loafers were cool and everyone had them?
And you put a penny?
You put a penny in the little slot in the front?
I think I tried it.
I remember my stepbrother.
I think my mom told me, like, oh, you put a penny in there.
Oh, you put a penny in there and you'll always have two pennies.
What am I going to buy with it?
Great. Everything costs 50 cents.
Yeah, oh, yeah, I got two pennies. What can I buy? Nothing. Get out of my store.
But back in like the early 1900s, there was like this aristocratic American accent, and you would hear it like in the movies and stuff. You know, like I don't remember. Really, I am just, oh, it's just such a wonderful day.
Oh,
oh
yes.
Splendid indeed. It wasn't an English accent, but it was Americans sounding like total D-bags. It's just...
Or how about like what's up with the I can't remember where I heard it from, but it's like the idiot English English accent where, like, you know, they just don't know what they're talking about, like this. I'll just find myself a bag of salt that I've been looking for like 2 weeks.
And oh, I know that's a Cockney accent.
It was over in the cupboard. I must have saw it like 3 times.
Yeah, that's a wonderful Cockney English accent.
I don't even know. Cockney. I'm telling you this.
You like cock, don't you?
Oh, dude, everybody loves it.
How about? I've been watching a lot of White Sox baseball, and I noticed the guy.
People in the stands.
Correct, but that was kind of normal for us because people don't go to White Sox games. But I noticed
that wasn't true in 2005 and 6 and 7.
Correct. And then but it became true again afterwards. But I noticed that the second baseman's name is Mendick. You like Mendick?
Oh, I think some people do. So, you know, the other day I was walking around the house and...
Yeah?
Yeah.
What about you fucking walking around the house, Dick?
You ever walk around the house, you know, nobody home, you feel kind of liberated, like you could do whatever you want? I mean, not like paint the walls.
I could
imagine, you know,
dude. I can imagine it,
like,
but
blow something up.
Having you know, time to myself at home doesn't happen very often. If it does, it's for mere moments. Mere moments.
I had the whole house to myself. You know what I did?
What?
I went.
You probably did nothing.
I
I probably watched television. You probably watched television, ate fucking peanut butter out of the jar with your hand.
I was cleaning. I was putting away laundry and stuff. And at a certain point in time, I realized that I just did not have any pants on.
You didn't have any pants on?
I didn't bother to put pants on. Because, like, why put pants on if nobody's home? Who's going to criticize you?
No one.
Nobody.
I just assume no one's going to criticize me.
So I was like, at some point in the morning, and I forgot, I was like, yeah, I don't need to deal with those pants. Just how sometimes I just don't like wearing socks or shoes or anything. I wasn't naked, but I think I had a shirt on and some underwear, but
you ever put your pants. You ever put your shoes on and then try and put pants on?
Oh, that's the worst. Or you got to change. You got shoes on. You're like, oh, I'm going to try to do this. And it never works. It never does.
Have you ever tried to jump into a pair of pants?
Oh, yeah.
Fucking wing doodle your head on the fucking dresser.
I think I hit that a few times in my life.
Every once in a while, I'll be staring at a pair of shorts, and I'll be like, man, I think I could jump into these.
Did you? Did you ever do
I've
it?
Never accomplished it.
I think, you know what? I think I did it a few times because there was one guy I used to work with, and I asked him a question about, like, you know, somebody famous or whatever. I was like, hey, what do you think about that guy? Well, I put my pants on one leg at a time, just like he does. I was like, well, I suppose that might make you temporarily important. But after that, I was like, you know what? I'll tell you what. I got to find a way out. If this rich guy, famous guy, can only put his pants on one leg at a time, I could probably get these pants on in one shot. And I think I did it a few times.
That's amazing.
We should probably take video of it.
I'll take the video.
But yeah, I mean, so I'm walking around with no pants on and
I got no pants on.
I got no pants on.
What kind of drawers you wearing? I don't know.
Oh yeah. I'll tell you what, we should write a song about this shit. You want to write a song about, like, it got no pants on?
As long as it's gentle.
Well, we could do that. But, like, you know.
I don't want any condescending tones.
And I think that the song should be called, I Got No Pants On.
It seems a little direct, but, you know, it doesn't leave much to the imagination.
I think
to be
it'll
quite
work.
Honest with you. But, yeah.
I think the lyrics will speak for themselves.
It would be like a top 40 type thing, like pop, you know.
And
like,
how about we just, like, you know, have no verse or anything? We could throw it in there if we feel like it, but maybe we should just have I Got No Pants On with a bunch of music in the background, like those techno songs. People love techno.
I got no pants on.
Or house. Is there even house music?
I got no pants on. If you're listening to your house.
No, house music. Remember house music?
No, it ain't around anymore.
That's all it was. Like, hey, let's just do like a bass and a snare and a bass on 1, 2, 3, 4, a snare on 2 and 4 and just throw some weird shit behind it.
People were so creative back then.
Keep on saying the same thing over and over again. Everybody dance now.
Or wait, everybody pants now.
Everybody got pants now.
Yeah, you know what?
Everybody got pants now.
Like Homer Simpson said, everybody pants now. Don't you hate pants?
I'm bebopping. I never thought I could bebop before. Look at I just bebopped.
And how old are you and you just bebopped?
I am too old.
Wow.
I'm like 73 years old.
Isn't that amazing, folks?
I lied. So let's do it. We'll be right back with I Got No Pants On.
I Got No Pants On.
Please excuse us while we go record that song. In the meantime.
Hey, hold on. That's old waiting music for your listening pleasure. Our fans demand a newer, better version every single episode, so here you go. The new waiting music for your listening pleasure. We sincerely apologize for that. It seems that our waiting music got a little out of control. At some level, I can see how that was seriously unnecessary. Others may think differently, we're not sure, so on and so forth. We are Atomic Baloney, and We make no accusations, yet we take no blame, and everything is cool. We hope you can forgive us for that little outlet.
Who knows?
Well, despite all differences, I'm sure we can all get along as soon as you hear this song. It rhymes.
I got no pants on. Time to get this dance on. I got no pants on.
I got no pants on.
I got a big old chowder on.
I got no pants on.
I lost my drawers to Charles Manson.
So you're saying there's some kind of like adrenaline weird stuff, like adrenaline, creatine, whatever. I don't know. What is it?
Well, I've heard in a couple different outlets, and I don't know the validity of it. Once again, it's kind of a conspiracy. Well, it definitely is a conspiracy theory type thing.
It could be true.
And I don't even know if I'm saying it right, but it's like adrenaline or adrenochrome or some shit like that.
It's harvested.
It's harvested from children's adrenal glands. And celebrities take it for whatever reason.
You said not only that, but you said it was taken during a state of terror.
Oh, from what I read, the most potent version of it comes from children that are in a state of terror while they're harvesting their adrenal glands.
So, hey, let's scare the hell out of this kid and take their adrenal gland.
Right. And it's like bits and pieces of this, I have no idea, you know, the validity of it, obviously. I know it's a conspiracy theory.
Well, you couldn't put it past them. I mean, hey, you got enough money to do anything. It's like, let's just steal children's adrenaline, scare the crap out of them.
They're saying that's why a lot of celebrities right now are fleeing the United States for Europe, like Tom Hanks and so forth.
Oh.
I don't know what a lot of celebrities are talking about. I've only heard of like Tom Hanks and someone else that I can't remember their name.
Joe Pesci.
Is he one of them?
I don't know. I just threw a name out there.
He don't do movies anymore.
Marilyn Monroe.
He only comes out for Martin Scorsese.
Oh, yeah. Martin Scorsese has this list of actors, and it's like, I'm only going to do DiCaprio, De Niro, and Pesci. And throw a few other ones in there if I need be.
Oh, yeah.
Find another actor, please. Hey, wait. Look. There's another Martin Scorsese film. I'm going to bet that it has something to do with violence, gangs, crime, and people getting killed. Everybody dies in the end.
I heard The Irishman is very good, but I ain't going to watch it.
I watched it. It is very good.
I ain't going to watch
it. It's actually not your typical gangster movie. It's based on somewhat of a true story. It's based on the story of the guy who said he knew what happened. The guy who said he killed... what's his face?
Whitey Bulger? Was it Whitey Bulger?
Yeah, he probably killed Whitey Bulger, but I just...
was it the James
Hoffa
gang?
Hoffa. That's what it is.
Oh, Jimmy Hoffa? Was he a gangster?
Hoffa.
I know
was,
he was,
yeah, kind of a story.
He was a labor union or a Teamsters.
Yeah, Teamster guy.
Union, the head union
he
guy.
He loved the Teamsters so much that he died for them. And I can't ruin the whole
plot. Why do they call them the Teamsters, man? I don't understand that. Aren't they like truck drivers?
Yeah.
Why do they call them Teamsters?
I don't know. They should call them truck driving dudes.
Yeah,
truck driving dudes.
Man. Make it easy on everyone.
Yeah, the Teamsters.
The Teamsters just sounds shady as fuck, man. Oh, the Teamsters are coming. Stirs. Oh fuck, we better hide our fucking.
You put anything?
China.
You put Stirs in, you know, like the Wonder Stirs. It's like, you know, okay, that's like a little too complicated. A little too hard to even say, Teamsters. It's like, why not the team guys? We're like, hey, like, you know, like I said, truck driving dudes are like, you know, guys who drive trucks.
I would, yeah. Truck driving dudes is cool. Or truckers. Truckers, yeah. Hey, truckers, that sounds fine to me.
You could, truckers, or you could like do divisions like truckers who play guitar.
Ted Fargan, buddy.
Truckers who play golf. Truckers who
fish. Any Smokies out there with ears on?
We should seriously contact these Teamster people and be like, change your name. This is bullshit.
I don't think they would. They'd probably
like
kill us.
I don't like it. They probably will. But hey, we could make our point known.
If there's a stadium being built at that time, we'd probably be encased in the concrete of it.
Yeah, we probably already are. We just This might be heaven. We might be actually
here's
in heaven.
Here's your motherfucking concrete case.
Get in there. Okay. What are you going to do? Fill you up with concrete.
Well, jump in. Here's a straw to breathe through.
Yeah.
And then
like
they fill
minutes.
You up. And then at the end, when you're breathing through the straw and you're like, oh, this is so bad. They throw concrete on the straw.
Or they take the straw out. And you'll be like, what happened to my straw?
Sons of bitches.
You can't even knock because you can't move because you're full of concrete.
I heard bad things about people that do stuff like that.
I heard bad things about bad people.
Bad people are bad.
Bad people are bad.
But what the...
It's the badness. They subscribe to badness.
Evil!
They wake up...
They have the evil!
If you are a bad person, you wake up in the morning, you're like, hey, how many bad things can I accomplish today?
What do they get out of that?
I don't know. Bad people must like it.
A sense of self-gratitude.
Do you think a bad person would feel guilty if they beat up and killed somebody with a guitar? Or a drum set? How could you kill somebody with a drum set? I'm sure there's a way.
Oh, you could kill someone with anything.
Really? A paperclip?
Yeah, I'm pretty sure.
What was that movie? What was that movie where the guy's looking? He's like, okay, I got like the knife, the gun, and all the stuff, and then he sees a paperclip and he decides to kill somebody with a paperclip.
I think that was Scary Movie.
No, it was.
But there's
long
a movie from
movie.
The there's a movie from the 80s. God, I don't remember the name of it, man. But I know it was real. It was a horror film, but it was also funny.
A comedy horror film. We were watching it at that one girl's house. Remember, we were watching it.
I think so. And I remember.
I think it was called Student Bodies. But
Student Bodies. Someone was obsessed with horse head bookends, like a shop teacher. Like, we're making horse head bookends this season, this semester. Horse head bookends. And yeah, I remember the guy, the killer was going through a bunch of things. It was like a plastic bag, some tape, a knife, a gun, a candlestick, and a paperclip. And he chose the paperclip.
Because why else? I mean, maybe he thought it would be a challenge because, you know, all these other things are way too easy.
No more horse head bookends!
All right.
Good night, everybody. It's been a fantastic evening.
It was wonderful. You all have a wonderful evening.
Being able to attempt a very feeble attempt at entertainment.
Well, I'll tell you what. Why don't you guys all, you know, out there listeners, brush your teeth before bed? Just please do me that. Like, you know, floss if you can. I advocate flossing every other day. Sometimes I'm lazy and I do it every third day. Sometimes 2 days in a row. I don't know. Yeah. How often do you floss?
It happens.
It just does.
Water pick.
It's like, crap, I got to floss my teeth tomorrow. Maybe.
And then do it like 4 times that day.
And then I go to the dentist. They're like, wow, you're doing such a great job on flossing. It's like,
it's all toothpicks.
Toothpicks?
And I only use the cocktail style toothpicks. They have a much smoother finish to them, and oftentimes are dyed in delightful colors.
Well, you know what? I'm thinking about this, and you know, if there's a tooth fairy, why isn't there a toothpick fairy?
That is it's a rather reasonable question.
Would you like? I have an idea. Maybe we should make you the toothpick fairy. You could just visit people, like, you know, who you know just don't floss or don't, and be like, hey, I know you don't like flossing. So here's some toothpicks, and then you could wear like the suit, like with wings and stuff, and they'll be like, "Who are you?" The toothpick fairy, and then you'll just disappear, just like launch out of their window, even if it's like closed, just break out of it, and they have to pay the cost to repair that window, and when the insurance company says what happened, well, I was visited by the toothpick fairy, and he gave me some toothpicks, and he just crashed out my window. I just really didn't have any control over it, and maybe we could call insurance. You know, companies, and tell them that there's going to be this madman running around dressed as like a tooth fairy, but he's a toothpick fairy, and he's going to start breaking shit. I mean, maybe even like bust down doors, like light fires, you know, like
one moment, close your eyes and imagine your every partially decayed toothpick that has been discarded in this world, and just for one moment feel what it's like to be a discarded toothpick in a random landfill, maybe on a curb, maybe between the seats of your car. Just accept that you're better than that.
Well, let me expand on this. Like, let's just take it a step back. Like, what about being created? Like, how do they make toothpicks in the first place? They just take a tree and, like, just sliver it up?
Yes.
But, like, could you imagine being born and being like, I'm going to be this great thing. I'm going to do all these wonderful things. And then next thing you know, somebody grabs you, sticks you in their teeth. And sometimes, like, you know, if you break too early, it's like you might get stuck in the middle of their teeth. And they got to claw you out with something else. And
another
then,
toothpick.
Maybe you're cut in half.
I remember those delicious mint toothpicks. I used to love those as a child.
The life of a toothpick. That's what we should do. We should do like an animation. The life of a toothpick.
I came to you to pick debris out of your teeth. I came to you sometimes in a little paper sleeve. I'm your toothpick. Keep me close to your heart and your teeth.
That was beautiful. Okay, we got to go. All right, this is what happens when we don't know how to end a podcast.
Good night.
Later.
Atomic Baloney out.
Wake up drunk.
I go to bed drunk.
Wake up drunk.